welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians 13, which you may know as the Great Love Chapter. If you hadn't known that, you're about to find out why we call that the Great Love Chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, keeps no record of wrongs, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never fails. And really, it's what we had been singing about quite a bit this morning, the love of God. You're a child of love. Nothing can separate you from that love of God. And this morning, as we look at love and as we look at these passages, this passage of Scripture, it's always such a good grounding Scripture, because as you're endeavoring to love God and grow in Him and grow in your knowledge and understanding and everything you do for God, you know, these first three verses talk about a lot of things that you can do for God, different ways we can minister for God, but something is grounding everything that we do for God. It has to be grounded by love, and he mentions that in the first three verses, and then in case there's any doubt, he goes on to very specifically define what he means by that, and we see all these different beautiful characteristics and attributes of love, and I was kind of going through this the other day, and because it's a powerful exhortation of how we're to live, how we're supposed to love, how we're supposed to treat each other and whatnot. But as I was going through this, and as I was just looking at these different attributes and qualities of love and kind of seeing which boxes I could check, which things I might need to work on, things like that, I just felt the Holy Spirit just kind of turn this on me in a way that I wasn't quite expecting. Because I've looked at this passage and I've seen it and I thought, yep, got to do this and this, kind of the checklist of being able to tell that you're walking in love. But I just felt an encouraging word from the Lord. He said, this isn't just the way you're supposed to love. You got to realize this is the way God loves you. You love because he first loved you. And it was just like, it's almost like, oh, instead of me trying to do it, it was like it was coming at me. This is the way God loves me. The word is agape. For God so loved the world, he so agape'd the world, that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's probably one of the first things we think of the love of God. He so loved us that he sent Jesus. It's what we celebrate. It's what we worship this morning. It is his saving love through Jesus Christ. But that same word, agape, is also used here. In other words, agape, God's agape love isn't just a saving love. It's a sustaining love. And we can see that his love saves us and sustains us. It's the same word. The same love that sent Jesus loves us like this. He gives us this powerful definition so we can go through and understand. God is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. And you begin to realize, okay, this is how God... What I want to do this morning is I want to go through this passage. I want to walk through this passage. And what the Holy Spirit did in my heart is it just kind of revolutionized the phrase in my heart, God loves you. What does that mean? It means He's patient with you. He's kind toward you. This is what God loves you means. Yes, it means He sent Jesus, but it means this too. This is all agape. This is all the God kind of love. And we need to be able to see all these facets of God's love for us. So when we hear, we know, we see that God loves us, this is what it means. Now we know that there's an enemy. He's a counterfeiter. He's a liar. He tries to mock God. He tries to imitate God, but it's not the real deal. And one of the things that you find in the area of retail and currency and money is that when they want to train their retail people how to spot a counterfeit, what they'll do is they'll make them spend some time with real money, and they'll give them the clues what to look for and how to be able to handle real money and to be able to see what the real thing is like. And one of the powerful passages of this scripture as I was just studying is that it has these points of authentication that you can begin to see and detect things that might come against your mind and see. You know, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we're testing things. That it's authentic. It's real love. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And so this morning, what I really want to just minister along the lines is I'm just calling it authentic love, all right? We've got the definition there, but we're also going to get a little side teaching on how to be able to spot a counterfeit bill along with the real bill. Because as you look at some of these things, there's a few interesting little parallels as you can see the counterfeit from the real thing and the real love. So when we're looking at authentic love this morning, again, we're coming not from you need to do this, this, this. You need to receive this, this, this. You need to receive this, God. You got to let that love in. And by letting that love in, it's not just a concept. It's graphic detail of what this love is like. And so here we go. We're just going to walk through this with some fresh eyes this morning. First aspect of this authentic love is God's love is approachable. All right? So this first aspect, He's patient, He's kind, He doesn't envy, He doesn't parade Himself, He's not puffed up, He doesn't have this big persona that is just, you know, unapproachable. You see this tenderness, this kindness. Jesus describes it this way. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So you can see that stark contrast. A lot of times that enemy comes in and there is such a brash, high-level, kind of noise in the air. But when it's God, He's patient, kind. He's not puffed up. He's not proud. He's humble. He's meek, kind, gentle. So He says, "Come unto me." You know, there's a scripture that says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There is something, you can know, again, kind of your theology about Jesus, but there's something about coming unto Him. Before you can find the rest for your soul, you first have to come unto Him. And that's one of the big things of love. When we get stuck in our head with our theology wondering about God, one of the characteristics of God loves you is He says, "Come. Come unto me. I'm approachable. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. I'm kind. I'm not going to take you out to the woodshed. I'm not going to berate you. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm a safe place. I'll tell you what, to me, that is one of the most hallmark aspects of love, is that it's approachable. In fact, when you would see Jesus, I mean, you'd see the sinners and the tax collectors and people being hanging around him. He was so approachable. There's something about the Lord that he doesn't want you to be on eggshells with him. You know, you think of the old movie, The Wizard of Oz, and, you know, the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. They wanted to go to him because he could help them, but they were so afraid of him. He was so hard to approach. If you remember that movie, there's flames and this big, ugly green head, this intimidating persona. And Jesus said, I'm exactly the opposite of that. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. Come unto me. God loves you. This is what that means. That he's kind, that he's tender. You don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to have it all together. You're coming to learn. You're coming to learn something about him. And you see that heart that he has, that kind, tender heart. Another scripture along those lines. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? It's an amazing, you know, his kindness leads us to repentance, another translation says. But there is a kindness, there's a tenderness that God has that turns us from sin. It turns us to God. And so when it comes to a dollar bill, or this is actually a $20 bill, but when you hold it up to the light, and you can't see it unless you do it, but if you come into the light, you bring that up to light, you'll actually see another image. It's to the right of the actual face on the bill, but to the right of it, you'll see another image that'll shine through. It's not visible to the natural naked eye as far as looking at it, but when you hold it up to the light, you can see it. And that's kind of what the call of the Lord is too. He says, come into the light. Come into the light and see me. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. We'll have a meal together. There's a fellowship. There's a seeing him. It's not just theology. It's coming unto me. Come unto me. Engage me. Talk. Listen. I love you. This is authentic love. It's a love that bids you to come. It's approachable. No matter where you are, there's not one I you have to dot. There's not one T you have to cross. You can come. In fact, when you see who he's addressing, he's saying, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. He doesn't say why you're weary or why you're carrying heavy burdens. He just says that you're weary and that you're carrying heavy burdens. Come. I want you to come. So there is an authentic love of God that says, come. Why? God loves you. That's what it means. That's what it means when we say God loves you. It means he's approachable. It means you can come just as you are. Just as you are. And take his yoke upon you. Let him teach you. Humble. You'll find rest for your soul. That is good news to me. That means good day, bad day, confusing day. He's approachable all the time. Another aspect is peaceful. I'd almost maybe clarify that. Peaceful, there's a peaceful clarity in the love of God. Because another is we're kind of walking down the definition here. It goes on to say, love does not behave rudely, it doesn't seek its own, and it's not easily provoked. So here's another thing that we find out about authentic love. It doesn't behave rudely, it's not selfish, and it's not easily angered. It doesn't get mad really fast. And so here we can see just a passage of scripture along those lines. We actually visited this one last week. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Lie not against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's not authentic love. If you've got strife in your heart, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, it's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's clear. It's right. It's good. Another aspect of another aspect of authenticating money is when you look at it, there should be no blurs on an authentic bill. It should be absolutely crystal clear. An automatic red flag for counterfeit bills is noticeably blurry borders, printing, or text on the bill. Authentic bills are made using die-cut printing plates that create impressively fine lines, so they look extremely detailed. Counterfeit printers are usually not capable of this level of detail. So take a close look. If the printing is unreadable, even under a magnifying glass, it's probably a counterfeit. So there's a clarity. When you're authenticating things, there's clarity in it. In this, confusion in every evil work, it's confusing. It's blurred. There's something about the way the enemy tries to get truth into you, like we said last week. It will be spontaneous. There will be a logic to it. There will even be a witness to it, your flesh. It'll witness to bitterness. It'll witness to anger. That's why it has this powerful, convincing mechanism about it. But it's wrong still. It has the right kind of elements, but they're not the right elements. All right? It's going to be spontaneous by the Spirit. There will be a logic as you're comparing spiritual with spiritual, and it'll bear witness to the Holy Spirit inside you. That's the authentic. The other is counterfeit. Now, the world loves, again, to get on the bandwagon of the counterfeit and to play and on the flesh and all that kind of stuff. But the authentic is the real, it's clear. When you see something, it's like revelation. It makes sense. It's clear and it's right, but it's peaceable and it's gentle. Satan is the master of the fake fight. Have you ever seen one of those? I don't know. There's usually have these little kind of practical joke shows or what would you do if shows. And they'll kind of stage something kind of in the middle of a real circumstance, but they'll stage a fake fight just to see what people will do and see how they'll respond and different things like that. So Satan is the master of the fake fight. When it's demonic wisdom, and you got to ask yourself, you know, that has been a good check in my life as far as the authentic and the real. If I'm riled up, I got to stop and say, is this a fake fight? Am I imagining something? Am I imagining something? Because that's what they would say. Is this a fake fight? And those fake fights play on your flesh to get you riled up. And then you get all, you know. But God, in authentic love, doesn't do fake fights. His wisdom is pure and it's peaceable and it's gentle. Willing to yield. You know what willing to yield is? It means you're willing to listen to the other side. Demonic wisdom doesn't have to listen to the other side because you're right. God's wisdom will listen to the other side because you're secure. You can listen to the other side. And you're even willing to listen to learn, whatever. But there's a peace, mercy, good fruits. This is God's kind of love. This is authentic love. The psalmist put it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. From that place of green pastures and still waters. So another characteristic of authentic love is peace. Why does he make you lie down in green pastures? Why does he lead you beside the still waters? Why is his wisdom pure, peaceable, gentle? Because God loves you. That's part of his love. It's how he loves you. He doesn't get you stirred up. He doesn't get you fighting mad. He makes you lie down. He makes you listen. And he'll lead you then into paths of righteousness from that place, again, of the green pastures and the still waters. So if I'm riled up, if I got fake fights going on in my head or things like that, that's not the love of God. That's not how God loves me. God loves me in a way that he's going to lead me beside those still waters. In other words, there's going to be, isn't that very general? He makes you lie down in green pastures. I got this real serious issue and he wants me to just lie down. I got to know the answer to this and I'm looking out at still waters. What does that have to do with anything? It will in just a little bit, because as he restores your soul, you're going to, from that place, have eyes to see and ears to hear that path of righteousness that's going to answer your question. But he's going to, you're going to be able to hear what he is saying for you to do. But he'll get you to that place. He'll get you to that place to where you can hear what he's saying. But he'll lead you to those paths of righteousness. But that's the way he does it. But you can see again, kind of how the enemy does. Doesn't behave rudely, seek its own. He's not barking at you. He's saying, come, lie down, listen. Not easily. If you find yourself easily angered, that's not a strength. The stronger you get, the harder it's going to be to provoke you. If it's easy to provoke you, the enemy can play you easily. If it's hard to provoke you, it's hard for the enemy to play you, because you're going to stay in that place where you're dialed into him. The next aspect is merciful. This is the way he is. He is full of mercy. The scripture says, he thinks no evil, keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, his heart, his attitude toward you is mercy and forgiveness, kindness. Come unto me. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here again, this is where he tells us to come. He says, since we have a great high priest who's entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. This is just the way he is. What does he say, though? He says, you got to come. Come, I'm here. The throne of grace is 24/7, throne of grace. Think of that. Mercy, 24/7 with our loving, faithful Lord, Jesus Christ. He just says, come. Come boldly to receive. That's another characteristic, actually, of the bills here. If you take a close look at an authentic banknote, you can see there are very small red and blue threads woven into the fabric of the bill. Counterfeiters try to replicate this effect by printing a pattern of red and blue threads into counterfeit bills. If you can see this printing is merely surface level, then it's likely a counterfeit. And it goes on to say, too, that if you put the bill under, this would be in the case of a $100 bill, if you put it under ultraviolet rays, it'll just glow red. All right? The 5 will glow blue, the 10 glows orange, this would glow green, 50 glow yellow. But there's a light that's woven. There's threads that are in this thing. And that's the way authentic love is. There's just red. I just think that red is the mercy and the grace that is interwoven. You know, yeah, I would love to say, you would love to say, we could just, you know, sometimes you get those consecrations. It's like, okay, that's it. I am going on from here. No more. And you fall and you miss it. But he's faithful and just. Praise God. He's that throne of grace is not a one and done thing. That throne of grace is one of those things that's sustaining. This is a sustaining love. And what does it really do when it sustains you? You know that all your sins are paid for. Your sins don't get paid for every time that you confess sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. But this is what happens ultimately. You're a new creation. You still have the Holy Spirit. But this is the action that happens. Under the old system, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. But just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that's what happens. That's why we have mercy. That blood cleanses our conscience from the dead works. We have something on our conscience that's bothering us. Our God loves you. He is merciful. I don't care if it's the umpteenth time. I don't care if you promised you would never do that again and you did it again. He's still there. He's still going. Those threads are still interwoven through here. He knows your heart was not to miss it. He knew that, you know, Peter didn't want to deny him. You know, he wanted to be able to step up to the plate, but he prayed for him. You know, he ever lives to make intercession for you. your consecrations, the things that you're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that there's process, that there's time. You can get frustrated with yourself that I haven't gotten over that thing by now, but he's patient and he's kind. This is God's love for you. What does he tell us? How many times do I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? 70 times seven. He was also showing his heart toward us, that mercy and that compassion to stay with it. That kindness is not an enabling thing. That kindness leads us to repentance because you realize this is who loves me. He loves me like this. You can't find this kind of love anywhere else. It's only found in Jesus Christ. This kind of authentic love is found in him. And so you begin to learn this, and you begin to learn his love. You think of the prodigal son. He thought, if I could just go and be a servant. No, not a servant. We're going to put the ring on your finger. We're going to put the robe on you. And you're going to sit in a place of honor as we celebrate that you've come home. This is authentic love. This is the way he is. This is the kind of love that makes the enemy mad. It makes religious people mad. It made the older brother mad. In the story of the prodigal son. The son came home. Father was happy. The older brother go mad. Come on, Dad. I mean, you wouldn't even let me have a goat, you know, and this backslidden son of yours comes home and you're throwing a party. No fair, no fair, no fair. Do you know the religious spirit has a no fair, no fair, no fair attitude when it comes to the mercy and the grace of God? We don't want that. We want to be merciful. You know, mercy triumphs over judgment. The Lord told me this once. He said, Ed, your mercy triumphs over your judgment. It's important to be merciful. It's important to love mercy. You read those Proverbs. To love mercy. To bind it around the neck. Bind it on your neck. To tail it to your heart. Hold mercy close. Because that's the way God is. He just is merciful. And God loves you. Why? God loves you. That's what it means when we say God loves you. He is merciful. Not only that, but he's honest. This is an honest, clean, pure love. What do we mean by that? It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. This love is not going to agree with you all the time. This is not a love that means I'm just always right in the eyes of God. No, that wouldn't be love. He is honest. He is truth. He's just. He's right. The scripture says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I've had this happen, and this is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit I'm so grateful for. When I get off in my spirit and in my mind, and I'm ratcheting up, and you can probably know in your own heart and mind where you begin to go down a path and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's not right. Okay, I'm a Christian. That's right. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to think like that. Do you know what that is? That's the ministry of the grieving of the Holy Spirit, and I thank God for it. We'd probably be in jail without it. I mean, I'm not glad that I grieve him, but I'm glad that he grieves when I get off. I'm glad that he reels me back in. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. No matter how mad I get, no unfair, he will not rejoice if I cross over lines. He won't do it. Love won't do it. Love, you know, the scripture says he chastens those he loves. He'll indicate that's wrong. This isn't, you know, sometimes people use the phrase sloppy agape, you know. Agape love, it's just everything's all good, just do whatever you want because it's just all, that's not agape. Agape is honest. Agape will tell you straight. Now, he'll speak the truth in love with kindness, but he'll grieve when we're off. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he does that. I'm glad he doesn't agree with my flesh. He'll sympathize with the pull of my flesh as a great high priest who's been there and understands what I'm going through, but he won't agree with it. He won't say amen when I cross over into these things. The authentic love of God won't do that. Why is that? Because every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and it will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right action and lead you to lead you deeper into the path of godliness. So you hear that there's like a two, there's a dual voice of the Spirit of God. He will not rejoice in iniquity. The way he loves me is he won't give me peace and joy unspeakable when I'm crossing. There will be a grieving that is meant to get my attention, to get me back focused on him again, so that I can lie down in those green pastures and then he can lead me beside and then show me what's right. That's authentic love. Another little characteristic of your bill, if you look at it, in the lower right-hand corner, this is a 20. When I look at this 20, it looks gold. But if I turn it at an angle, it'll become green. Gold or green. That's a it's a color shift. One of the first things to look at if a bill is authentic, at the bottom right-hand corner has a color-shifting ink. All right. So when you turn that ink, you're going to be able to see both sides of that. If you see only one side, it's fake. You know, sometimes people have a one side, it's just all correction. And you're just under this heavy, never quite enough, never can do it. You know, or it's just all, you know, everything I do is right. Like I said, sloppy agape. God will never, ever correct you about anything because that would hurt your feelings and he doesn't want to condemn you. Wrong. He loves you. It's not for the sake of condemnation. You know, when I take my temperature, I'm not taking my temperature. That thermometer is not there to condemn me. That thermometer is just there to tell me what my temperature is so I can make some adjustments, you know? And that's kind of what the grieving of the Holy Spirit is. It's like you're taking your temperature and something's off here, you know? So you know that. So you can kind of get back and get it right again. But that's the way he is. And so you got to understand, he's got both of those things. And another kind of little side note of authentication as far as a bill, when you look at a year, like this one is 2013, so that means my serial number must begin with an M, all right? Sometimes the counterfeiters try to do that, and they don't get the things in sync right. But what does that also tell you? That truth is referenceable. There's a reference to it. When God leads, it's not a relative truth or a cultural truth or a I think truth. It is written truth. It's scriptural truth. If these don't match, it's counterfeit. If it's not in the word, it's counterfeit. It's got to match. It's got a reference to be authentic. Truth isn't what I decide it to be in 2021. You know, you got a lot of people defining truth these days, which will change 100 years from now, but the Bible's going to read the same way 100 years from now. Because God doesn't change and his word doesn't change. So these things are referenceable, they're true, and you're going to see that he's not going to rejoice in iniquity, but he's going to rejoice in the truth. That's love, because he loves you. Praise God, he is that way. And then finally, he's loyal, you know? I mean, that is probably one of the most powerful, again, truths of authentic love, why we're all still here today. He's been loyal to us. And we can see that again in the final passage of here where it says he bears all things, he believes all things, he hopes all things, he endures all things. Love never fails. Praise God. And we sang about the scripture this morning. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? Or even calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is that speaking to? That's just speaking to a stick-to-itiveness, a loyalty that God has to you, no matter what you're going through. One thing that's true about that thing you're going through is it can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's not just the good times. He is there for the long haul. And finally, that's kind of one of the cool things about authenticating a bill is that authentic banknotes have raised printing. It has texture. To detect raised printing, run your fingernail carefully down the note. You should feel some vibration. There's texture in that. You know, if it's a phony one, it's just like a sheet of paper, and it's just all perfectly smooth. That's not real. The real stuff has texture. It's there during the hard times, during the good times. That's authentic love. You know, the prodigal son saw the phony love, didn't he? He had all this money, he had all these friends, and everybody just loved him. But then when his money ran out, his friends ran out. That's not the way God is. Good times, bad times, persecuted, hungry, destitute, people judging you, people not getting you. He's right there. He's right. This is authentic love. It has texture. It has things that are, they're going to stay with you. But not only that, when you think about this, these things, he bears all things. Again, personalize this like we kind of personalized those promises in that word this morning. That those promises are yours. He bears all your stuff. He believes all things for you. He hopes all things for you. You know, hope is amazing. Hope is powerful. Hope says you can. Hope says things can be different. Hope says you can be different. Hope says things can be better. He speaks that over you. He hopes over you. God loves you. That's what love does. It hopes. It bears. It endures. It never comes to an end. God loves you. It's an authentic love. And like I said, I was just kind of reading through that. And for me, I just got it turned on end. I always kind of go in there with almost a worker bee mentality to try to see where I need to tune up. And there's definitely a truth there. We need that part of it. But we need to understand the other side of it too, is that this is an authentic love. His love is approachable at any time. It's peaceful. There's not going to be any fake fights. He's not going to be stirring me up. No, he's going to take me to a place where I can, from a place of repose, listen and learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart. That's the way he is. That's the way he is. And he is merciful. He's honest. He's going to speak the truth in love. He's going to call things clear in your life. If you're off, there will be some kind of, you know, uncomfortableness as far as things go. You may have to pray things out, but he'll be true, and he's loyal. He'll stick with you. He'll stick with you till the end. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, he is the constant. His love is the constant. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that your love is authentic. It's the real thing. And we thank you, Lord, that we are loved by you. The same agape love that sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sins is that same love that sustains us today. That same love, that same approachable love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you love me. I behold that love this morning. You are patient with me. You're kind toward me. Because you love me. You're not loud and arrogant. You're humble and lowly in heart. You're not vindictive. You're merciful toward my sin. I receive cleansing and forgiveness from all my sin. Because I believe you're merciful. Because you love me. You don't rejoice in my iniquity. The precious Holy Spirit grieves when I'm wrong. Not to condemn me, but to correct me and bring me back into your love, into your trust, into fellowship with you. I thank you, Lord. You never leave me. You never forsake me. I am yours. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. Today I believe you died on that cross for my sins. I believe the Father raised you from the dead. And I take you now as the Lord of my life, the Lord of my heart. I receive your forgiveness and I receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, you let me know. I'd love to further encourage you. That's the best decision you can make in your life, is to just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He sticks with you. He sticks with you all the days of your life. He is a good shepherd, and he will guide you. And so just be encouraged, though, this morning that there is an authentic love. There is an authentic love of God that sustains you for the here and now. It never fails. We found out about it at the cross, but that's just when we found out about it. It never fails. It never comes to an end. Amen. Praise God.